Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
Now, evil is not just a concept. It's a daily reality. And we see it in broken systems. We see it in injustice, suffering, and even in our own hearts, like we said the other day. But this book, The Great Hope, reminds us that evil does not have the final say. Behind the scenes of chaos, there is a cosmic battle, but there's also a promise. And so this chapter paints a picture of hope, not just blind optimism, but the assurance that God has already charted a course toward victory. And there is, in fact, a plan. There is a purpose. And evil will be defeated. Pastor Meshack Maplanga joins us one more time to talk to us about chapter 2 of The Great Hope. My pastor, good morning and welcome to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Good morning. Thank you. I hope you're doing well.
Doing all right. Thank you so much, Pastor. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Are you doing all right?
I'm doing well by the grace of God.
Amen. Happy to hear that. All right, so let's get straight into it. We're talking about chapter 2 of The Great Hope. If you could just start off by just giving us a summary, since we didn't really have a lot of time the other day. So just give us a quick summary of the main points that you want us to take from this chapter.
All right, so today we are dealing with a turning point. And we're going to look at also hope that anchors the soul. These are the two main points that we're going to linger our discussion on this mid-morning. Yes, so to begin with, many of times the actual significance of the cross is not understood by a lot who profess to know what the cross is.
Okay.
Because on the cross, we just don't see Jesus dying there. And there on the cross, we just don't see someone dying and being taken to the grave afterwards. And it ends there because the cross has a deeper significance. And I'm going to talk about three major things that I want us to take through from the cross's experience. Number one, I want us to know that the cross signifies public defeat of evil. When you come to Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, the Bible reads, at the cross, Jesus disarmed powers and authorities, making a public spectacle of them. Because when you dig deep into the cross's reality, you discover that there at the cross, Jesus Christ defeats the devil, because he says the authority and everything that might be needed for him to become the champion of this world, he got it there from the cross. Us to say from the cross also, the victory that Jesus wins there at the cross is not a forced victory. It is not a battle that he has to fight for him to win. It is a battle that he wins naturally by the Christ. This builds a contrast between the devil and God. Remember last time on Tuesday when we were looking at the strategies of the devil, we said the devil's victory comes from deception, lies, and forcing things. But when we come to the cross, we are told of a greater truth, a truth that is a victory that is beyond forcing things, a victory that is beyond deception, a victory that is generated from a point of love, from a point of truth. So as we come to the experience of Jesus on the cross, we are showed a loving Savior who willingly is able to give his life for the sake of others who are outside there, who are sinners. Actually, if you were to go deep into the cross, you discover that according to Roman culture, those that go on the cross are those criminals. But when we look at our Savior on the cross, he goes on the cross not because he's a criminal, but because he has taken the sins of the entire world. That you and me be very cautious, because the victory that Jesus wins does not mean evil stops existing. Evil exists, but this kind of evil existing are more than conquerors through Christ, because Jesus. That's his point of view. Everything was won. That is why we said our Jesus paid it all on the cross. Despite of what the devil may plan in your life, in my life, despite of through your financial degradation, your marital problems. Not me. That comes from the cross. Why? There was love.
Sure, Pastor, I'm so sorry to interrupt you. The network is not, it's not on your side. We can't hear you clearly at all. The line keeps breaking. I'm not sure if there's anything that
exceeding
you can do.
Love.
Hello, Pastor, can you hear me?
But even
sure. Okay, it looks like the pastor cannot hear me, and we are struggling to hear anything from his end. Let's see if we can try and call back, and hopefully the line will be a little bit clearer. He's sharing some beautiful points of that we get from chapter 2 of The Great Hope. It's a beautiful book. It's a beautiful chapter, and just the assurance that indeed the victory has already been won. Jesus did what needed to be done on the cross. Oh man, now we're struggling to get through to the pastor at all. Network is not working. The network is not on our side this morning. Let's keep trying to connect with the pastor. In the meantime, maybe let's take a break. Oh no, it looks like we've connected with him. Pastor, can you hear me?
I'm able to get you clear.
Okay.
Are you able to get me?
Yeah, we're struggling to hear you. The line keeps breaking and cutting, and we can't really hear you that clearly. I'm not sure if you can move around or find a spot with better network. I'm not sure.
I'm trying to move up.
Still not great. We're not really getting what we need. We can't hear a complete sentence. Like, it keeps breaking. All right. Hopefully we'll be able to continue with what you are sharing with us, and hopefully we'll be able to hear you clearly.
All right. What I was trying to share with the saints is that from the cross's point of view, we get victory that comes from love, mm-hmm. that comes from truth. We get a victory that is beyond our suffering. Actually, the victory that is on the cross is beyond what we can do, because what we get from the cross is not because of what we have done, but what Jesus has done through his sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Because the victory that Christ wins on the cross comes from what he has done. Meaning, regardless of what we have done and what we have sinned against Christ, Christ is able to give us the victory. And the Bible says, if anyone be in Christ, he is an overcomer. So when you decide to join the winning team, the team where Christ comes from, despite all the evil that is ongoing on the world, you will still overcome. This brings me to the next point, which I want to share with the friends, that when we come to the cross, this is the center of, or the transition of power from the devil who was ruling the world to Jesus Christ, who takes it up. When you read Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, you discover that the Bible says, now the believers can overcome through the blood of Jesus and their own testimonies. Why? Because shift and the transition of authority has been made.
Amen.
Because Jesus now is the one with authority. Mm. And because we're on the side of Jesus, we are able to do what? To overcome. Now, how can we apply this to our daily life?
Yeah.
Number one, because of the cross, we no longer fight for victory, but we fight for victory. You didn't get that one. I am saying, because of the cross, we no longer fight for victory. Mm-hmm. We fight from victory, because we are coming from victory to fight every battle. So before we even enter a battle, we are already victorious.
Hey.
That is what the cross has done for us. As we go in every battle, we are no longer fighting to win, because we have already won, because Jesus has paid it all. Now, what has this all have to do with us? This comes to the next point that I want to stress, the hope that anchors the soul.
Mm.
There's something interesting. Now, this hope is not a passive hope. It is an active hope, because we understand that evil still operates. But we as Christians, we are moving through the prophecy that assures us that the devil is operating on borrowed time. Mm. So in as much as evil exists now, follow me closely, in as much as the evil exists now, we are moving on a prophecy that already assures us that despite evil existing, it is existing on a borrowed time.
Yeah.
Its time is so limited. And because of that, God is no longer reacting to evil, but he's executing a plan of redemption that is perfect. And the plan was already laid before the foundation of the earth.
Amen.
Meaning whatever God is doing now is not a reaction to the evil ongoing now.
Okay.
But it is a plan of redemption that even before we sinned, the plan was already orchestrated that the time we sin, we will be able to find life in God because it was already what? It was already won to us. Now, there is a hope in the Bible that we have to hold on to Christians. That comes from Romans chapter 8, verse 18. You find it in the book, The Great Hope. It reads and says, the present suffering cannot be compared to future glory that we have.
Amen.
This tells us to say, even when evil exists constantly, whatever pain evil can cause us now, what glory, the glory that awaits us is greater than all the tears you can cry on planet Earth. Even when things are hard, even when pressure hits, even when the devil attacks you countless times, there's hope. And the hope is that despite of all that is going on, the joy that is awaiting us is greater than the suffering. And may I make mention that tomorrow is better than today because the future glory is greater than the present suffering.
Amen.
Come with me again to what this book tells us. Now, the book gives us a detailed analysis how hope gives Christians the strength to endure throughout the bitterness and the despair of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So despite the bitterness, the book encourages us to say, no matter the suffering, no matter the hardships, no matter anything that we can go through, no matter how many people you may lose in your life, how many people may die leaving you, no matter even if you lose your sponsors today, they die. The book assures us to say that the future glory is greater. And this tells us to say that we are no longer victims of a broken world, but we are heirs of a coming kingdom.
Amen.
You didn't get that one.
Amen.
I am saying, because of the hope that we have now, you and me and everyone listening, we are no longer victims. No matter the evil, we are no longer victims. We are now what? Heirs of the coming kingdom. This tells me to say, if we are heirs, we can co-rule with God. We are princes and with God.
Mm-hmm.
So even if the problems come, there is a greater hope for us. And the hope is that we are going to become heirs with God. Hope is no longer passive now because hope is active. Permission to do justice with compassion and perseverance. True hope makes us agents of God's victory, not spectators waiting for heaven.
Hey.
Let me end on this note. When we have this hope, we are no longer spectators. Because Paul says, that which we saw, that which we heard, now we are doing what? We are handling with our hands, because we used to hear it, we used to see it, but now we are no longer hearers and watchers.
Mm-hmm.
We are the ones in action because Jesus has done everything for us.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to
Hello, Pastor, are you still there?
Sorry, I think that is the good summary I can give for this chapter.
Oh, man, powerful, powerful. Thank you so much, Pastor, for coming through. What a beautiful word. I'm glad that the network ended up stabilizing. We're able to hear the last bit of what you shared there. Thank you so much for your time this morning. Thank you for taking us through this chapter of the book. I trust that all our listeners out there have been encouraged and uplifted, recognizing that the victory has already been won. What a powerful point. We fight from victory, not for victory. Thank you so much, my Pastor. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Amen. Amen. Enjoy the rest of the day. Shalom, shalom.
Amen.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.